Leo Frank Georgia Supreme Court Appeals Records, 1913, 1914, page 1066. Visible translated text is as follows. Jobs implies I don't know how many different kind of jobs. There are 24 different kind of pencils. He puts them there as having been produced that week. He got the reports as to the quantity of each kind of pencil and had to tabulate all those reports and arrive at the total of each kind. No, I don't think he had to figure out the cost of production of each kind, but he figures the quantity of each kind of pencil and shows its value on the sheet. Starnes and Black and Anderson and Dobbs were there on Sunday morning. We went all over the factory. I don't remember about hearing of any blood being found on Sunday at all. There was a great deal of excitement there that morning. We see spots all over the factory floor. We have varnish spots, and people get their fingers cut. We have every color spots you can think of. I have been working in factories for 24 years. It is frequent occurrence in establishments where a large number of ladies work that you will see blood spots around dressing rooms. I have seen them a good many times. I have seen it at this factory. Mr. Frank had on a brown suit on Saturday and Monday. On Sunday, he had a different suit on. I never noticed any scratches, marks, or bruises on Mr. Frank on Sunday. There was a little girl in Mr. Frank's office on Saturday morning by the name of Miss Maddie Smith, and her sister-in-law's time was wrong, and Mr. Frank told her to wait a few minutes, and he would straighten it out for her. She had been paid $3.10 too much, and she gave me back the money when she found it was wrong, and I gave it to Mr. Frank, and he said he was glad because it balanced his cash. She then started out of the factory and got to the stairway, and she came back again and said that her time was wrong the other way. And I said, "Little girl, will it do all right to straighten it Monday?" And she said, "Yes." I then asked her how was her father, and she said, "My father is dying, I think." Then she spoke to me about getting some assistance from the office for burial expenses, and she commenced to cry, and I walked down the steps with her to the front door. That was about 9:20. Mr. Frank stayed at the factory until 9:40, when we left together. We went on up to the corner of Hunter and Forsyth, took a drink of soda water at Cruikshank's at the corner of Forsyth and Hunter. He left me then and started towards Montag's. That's the last I saw of him until Sunday morning. The elevator box was unlocked Sunday morning, and anybody could have pulled it open and started the elevator. The elevator makes some noise. It is driven by a motor. It makes more noise when it stops at the bottom than when it starts. There is nothing to stop it except when it hits the bottom. I have seen these cords that we tie up slats and pencils with in every part of the factory. I have raised sand about finding them in the basement. They go down in the garbage. There are several truckloads of waste and debris every day. The general cleaning up of the premises was had on Tuesday after the murder. The factory is 5 stories high, between 150 and 200 feet in length and 75 or 80 feet wide. It is an extremely dirty place. In some places, the floor is gummed 1 inch thick, and in some parts of the metal room, it is 1/8 of an inch thick. It might not average that all over. It is always dark on the first floor, through the hall toward the elevator.